Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, that even though there was a time in history and ever since that first sin, we've been away from you, separate from you. You haven't left us to ourselves. You've reached out, you've spoken, you've revealed yourself. You came in the person of Jesus. You've given us your word in the Bible. And even when that was being hidden away, and it was hard for people to hear from you, you made it possible over 500 years ago now for it to be rediscovered, brought back close. And so we sit here and we have your word right in front of us, you speaking to us. Father, may we hear your voice this morning because we need it more than we know. Whether we're young and old, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me just grab a couple of props. I'm going to start this morning with some wisdom. It's old wisdom, but it's good wisdom. When I heard it, I would never forget it because it's so clear. It was a quote from an old preacher, actually. He was trying to explain something, and he said, a handsaw is a good thing, but not to shave with, right? It's a good thing, but not to shave with. It's got a purpose, isn't it? This thing is fit for a purpose, a bit like what Paul was saying in the kids' talk. And that purpose is to cut or saw, and actually specifically to saw certain things. So don't start sawing metal with it because you'll ruin it. Do a bad job. And certainly don't start trying to cut the hair off your face with it, because that would be awful. So Charles Spurgeon, it was, in teaching something, said, a handsaw is a good thing, but not to shave with. If you want to shave, don't grab this. Grab this. This has got 5 blades on it, all designed for shaving. You can go one stroke and get 5 cuts. That's what I do anyway. So there's the looking forward to that first shave, boys. No. Yes. Okay, that's that bit done. There's an axe up here for some reason. I'm not quite sure why that's there. Now, that's pretty obvious. Is that obvious? Yep, it's pretty obvious, right? Very, very obvious. But now, instead of a handsaw not working well outside of its purpose, would it be any different when you think about a person, about a human being, about a Micah from the kids' talk? Is it any difference? Me and you, do I have a purpose? It's one of the biggest questions that can be asked. What is the point of life? What is the point of my life? What is the point of your life? We know it's a huge question because we can think about some of the answers that can get given to that question. When the answer to that question, what's the point of my life, is nothing, or I don't know, and life is pointless, maybe hopeless, well, the consequences are immense and often very tragic. But even when it's not that extreme, aren't these answers or ideas really all too common? You know, I really hoped that success and pursuing success was going to bring me a sense of purpose. But actually, it hasn't. The pursuing pleasure was really where I felt it was all at, and going for the next experience and the next good thing. I really hoped that would give my life a sense of purpose, but it does. It just leaves me wanting more, never feeling satisfied. I really hoped that gaining wealth and more things would bring me a sense of achievement and purpose and accomplishment, but I still want more, and I'm unsatisfied. And it gets worse as you get older, because we can think about and dream about things when we're younger, and then there's a whole bunch of experience that happens, and life throws all those things at us and we see some realities and we have more doubts. Because if the purpose of my life is success, well, what happens when I fail? And I will. What happens if the purpose of my life is relationships and they end, and all of them will at some point? If the purpose of my life is sort of sport and activity and a vibrant, adventurous lifestyle, but I get injured or I get ill or I'm incapacitated. If the purpose of my life is to be happy, what if I'm not happy? A sense of purpose is a big deal because it shapes the whole of our life. And so how can we know if we are the equivalent of a handsaw that's being used for shaving, if you like? Well, just as with the handsaw, and just like what we heard in the kids' talk, we need to think about who designed and made us. Where did we come from? And that's exactly what we've been doing in this book of Genesis in the last few weeks, and we've got a couple more weeks to come. Here's the big idea this morning. It's this, that we can only know our true purpose as human beings when we know the God who created us. And the book of Genesis shows us that human beings have purpose. And it's big. It's a big purpose. First point then, God made people with a purpose. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 set out the beginning of the universe and everything, not perhaps in the way everyone would like it to be set out, but in the way that God has set it out so that we can know some really important things. And that includes men and women. So in verse 26 of chapter 1 that was read out, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." There's a purpose attached to our creation. There's an intention behind it. So that they may rule. And that idea of ruling is expressed again a couple of verses later in verse 28. We've been made, we're told, in the likeness of God. So that they, we, may rule. Human beings have been assigned a task by the Creator, who is the ultimate ruler. Been given charge of something. So again, like with the handsaw, it's not an open question as to what it's for, is it? It's not, here's a handsaw, do anything you like with it, and it'll all be great. That's not an open question. But if you're not sure about it, go and find the person who made it, who designed it. Find out, then it makes sense. Don't find out, it won't make sense. Why would it then be an open question as to what you and I are for? Something for us to just try whatever we like and see if we can come up with something. Why would it be the case? The handsaw has been designed and made. It's got a purpose. But what about the hand that's holding the handsaw and the body that's attached to that and the mind and the consciousness that stands behind all of that and can do all sorts of things? Well, let's see what the Creator says about our purpose and see if this makes sense as you think about your purpose and our shared human purpose in this world, even today. Let's think about ruling, first of all. Humans are designed to rule the world, God says, but this also fits with the world we know, whether you've got God in it or not. We are distinct from all the other creatures. We have the capacity to create, don't we, and manage and problem solve. We've also got the capacity to destroy. We'll come to that. We've got the capacity to reflect on what we do, to do something, improve on it, or try something different, to save something. We see amazing things, no doubt, in the other creatures. Here's a weaver bird, a couple of pictures here. There's a weaver bird, right? They're amazing. Build the most amazing homes. You think, wow, that's absolutely astonishing. And they always build that. They do it, it's amazing, but they just do that. Orb weaver spiders create amazing webs. And you think, wow. But that's all they do. It's amazing, no doubt. Haven't got a picture of this. It'd be a bit sad, I think. But Tasmanian devils can't do a single thing about facial tumour disease. Can they? They've got it or they haven't. But people, humans, they can strategize, they can treat, they can manage, they can try and ensure the survival of the Tasmanian devil because they can care. They can think, they can solve problems, they can create solutions, they come up with amazing, we come up with amazing technologies, don't we? And much of that has much good that can be done. We clearly have the capacity to rule and to care. And so where does that come from? It comes from the God who made us because it reflects something of Him and what He does. And we still reflect that to some extent. Ruling. That rule comes with responsibility. There's an accountability here. We were never designed to be the absolute rulers. Only the Creator has that rule. And so the people God made were designed to reflect God in His kindness and care, working as stewards, looking after. So here's a verse in chapter 2 that we read. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So you notice the man wasn't just there standing around thinking, well, what do I do now? Where do I go now? God said, no, over here, this is what you do. This is your job, caring, and a responsibility to do that. So there's responsibility. But then there's another part of this purpose that is much bigger, and it completes the picture, really, of the true purpose of humanity. And it's in Genesis chapter 3, and it'll come up on the screen. I wonder whether you can see what it is. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What you see there is a clue about the big design, the big purpose. It's relationship. The Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and the woman whom the God had made in His own image were made to enjoy that walking along, that relating with God who had made them. Now, I used to work in a massive department store, right? Loads of employees, loads of customers, big place. But every so often, you would see the managing director walking around, prowling. Everyone got a bit shifty, right? Because it's the managing director. And so I was on the glass department. We're looking at, is polish quick? Or if it's dirty, run, hide. But it was her way of staying connected with what's going on in her kingdom, if you like. What's everyone doing? Talking to the customers as well. But the boss was doing some managing by walking around. And it was actually very lovely. And so in Genesis 3, where because of what's just happened, Adam and Eve were extremely shifty. They went and hid. We're going to look at that in 2 weeks' time. But you see the boss, the absolute ruler, walking around. Doing some managing by walking around. It's portrayed here as an entirely normal thing. It's what God did. Cool of the day. Let's go for a walk. That the Lord God walked and talked with His people and that was the perfect purpose for humanity seems clear at the beginning. We were made to walk with God. We were made to be in relationship with Him. rule and responsibility, yes, but in relationship with God. And that's why our big idea is that we can only know our true purpose as human beings when we know the God who created us. But our second point is this: people messed it up. When tempted to mistrust God, the ruler, and to doubt his goodness, they acted irresponsibly. They broke that perfect relationship with God. They betrayed their purpose and they hid because they had failed. And therefore, they no longer walked with God. They'd walked away from God. They'd run away from God. Now, there are other consequences to this sin. In particular, life was going to be much harder now. Survival more than thriving, and having to deal with frustration, and instead of satisfying fruitfulness, it was going to be hard. Frustration instead. Isn't that our life today? In so many ways. But the purpose for which we were made remains today. It's still to rule. It's still responsibility, because we will all give an account one day too. The boss, the creator, he's still the ruler. And so how are we going as we look around today with ruling? How are we going with that today for ourselves in our lives? How are we going with ruling the planet? Do you reckon we're doing a great job of that? It's like we're messing it up, really. We're dealing with issue after issue. Extinction of countless creatures, obliterating land and sea solely for greed. We don't seem to be thinking about what is sustainable for tomorrow, but rather what makes money for today. Exploitation on a global scale, and the impacts of that force people, many, many people, into survival mode. I'll never forget being with some Filipino friends in Cebu, and I asked them, who live in significant poverty, but I was coming in and looking around, it's an amazing place, and thinking, what sort of animals might we see? They said, none, because we've eaten them all. Just to live. You won't see much around here. It's a different level of existence, isn't it? The rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. We're not doing great in ruling the world. Wars, disputes over land and sea, famines, corruption, suffering, crime, genocides. What should the boss do? What should God do? How should he feel about that? Well, just think this through, right? When was the last time you made something great? Black pancake? I'm not sure if that was great. Was that by design or not? I don't know. But think about something great that you make, or if you have never made something great, imagine what it would be like to make something great. We have amazing robots made these days, right? It's a bit scary. That one on the left is called Sophia. It's on the left, isn't it? Yeah. She actually gave a humanoid interview. It was a bit scary. The one on the right is called Atlas. He can go running around like the start of the Ninja Warrior course. He might fall over, but he'll get up again and he'll have learned. So he can actually do it eventually. Wow, so many billions and billions of dollars have gone into that. Time, energy, complexity, programming, problem solving, all of that stuff goes into that. Imagine I just take either of those and say, no, your purpose is to fall from a great height off the top of this skyscraper. Now, if you had made that, how would you feel? How would you feel? You'd be reaching for the handsaw, maybe. You'd be angry. You'd want to see some justice. You'd say, that's not right. That's outrageous. What about if you'd made this? I'd love to imagine if I dream about this. If I made that, I would be so happy. That is awesome. That's a sugar ant. I didn't want to trigger anyone with Jack Jumper fear or anything like that. That's a lovely sugar ant. Imagine if you made that. That's an amazing thing. It moves. It does all sorts of funny stuff, and it's just awesome. We just take it for granted. We've probably trodden on a few. And we don't even think about it. I used to actually actively tread on them. I don't do that anymore. So I'm thinking about, if I made that, and the workmanship of that, and every other living thing in this world, is astonishing. I would feel absolutely gutted and outraged if someone just wantonly destroyed it. God made it. God made everything else with design, precision, with self-sustaining systems, in with this thing inside it called life. And it glorifies him. Proverbs tells us to go to the ant and learn a few lessons, actually. It's quite cool. But when we, having walked away from God, assume that we are solely in charge, our purpose gets messed up, and so do lots and lots of things in this world and our life, and we see it all over the place. Things and people whom God also made in his image suffer, exploited for this and that, for work, maybe for pleasure, for greed. All sorts of bad things happen, and we behave as if our rule is the only rule. And we now decide among us what we can be and what can't be, what we can't be, what we should and shouldn't do, because we left our ruler. We walked away. We walked away from the Lord God who walks and talks with his people. And so it's not a surprise that more and more these days people are asking this question: what is the point of my life? This isn't cutting it. What I'm being told I should go after isn't bringing it home to me. What am I supposed to be doing, and why does it even matter? A handsaw is a good thing, but not to shave with. A human being is a good thing, but not when they reject the God who made them in his own image. So how do we find then our true sense of purpose? Well, we look to the one who we can look to today. The God who made us. Finally then, we only know our true purpose as human beings when we know the God who created us. It's our big idea. That's what we do. We walked away from God. People have been doing that through all of history. We've messed things up, but what did God do? Did he walk away from us? In spite of every reason to do so, no, he did not walk away from us. He pursued. He did the opposite. He pursued us to save us from the consequences, from the way that we're going. He reached out again and again and intervened again and again until at last he sent his son to walk on this earth. God with us. And as Jesus Christ walked around and he encountered people who were doing stuff, giving their lives to a career or various activities, he said two words: follow me. Follow me. And they did. And that's the best thing they ever did. The Lord God, who walked and talked with his people, who he created, was back to give them their purpose back. He spoke of good news. To give us purpose in the face of our failures and this mess. And actually, only because of him do we see the full extent of our failure. Because people, some followed him for sure, but people ended up killing him, rejecting him again. Kill this Jesus. We are the rulers. He died. But no, Jesus is the real ruler because he didn't stay dead. He rose again to new life. Death is not the end. In fact, there's a whole eternity waiting. And Jesus then said to the weary, and says to the weary today, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. To those who are struggling, he said, even though you feel like you might be the last glimmer of a candle that's just about to go out, I'm not going to snuff you out. Trust in me. To those who are aiming around for purpose, he says, I came to give you life in all of its abundance forever. I can give you a purpose that's bigger than getting happiness, success, and pleasure and satisfaction, or avoiding sadness, failure, and anxiety. I can give you a purpose that matters for eternity. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is what Jesus calls us to be about. Because only in him is there hope and life and joy and purpose. The purpose that we're designed for, to walk with the Lord God in relationship. See, there's nothing bigger you can be a part of in this life. There's nothing bigger you can give yourself to. You guys maybe haven't thought about that. Some of the rest of us haven't given up thinking about it. We don't, with Jesus, we don't have to go through that Disney movie phase of, you know, the song, who am I, what am I, where do I belong? It's the same song in every Disney movie. Jesus gives us the answer. You're mine. Follow me. Here's where we're going. Bring others along. What a wonderful thing. Trust in Jesus. Walk with him. Be his disciple, sharing his message. And do you know, do you see him walking along in that verse? I'm with you always. I'm with you, step by step. Jesus is the Lord God who walks and talks with his people, and only with him can you discover your true purpose, the only one that will satisfy. Let's pray. Father, so many people, so many things being thrust at us, inviting us to give ourselves to them. This should be your purpose. You should be this, you should be that. And those voices, they distract us, they get us thinking, they get us giving it a second glance, they seem to offer something. And yet, Lord, you help us to see. You help us to see ourselves. And you help us to see this world. And you help us to see you. And only with you can we make real sense of it. And only with you do we have hope. Hope of joy, hope of life, hope of love. And it's not airy-fairy. It's all been demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you demonstrated your love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, walking away from you, Christ died for us. Help us to hear him as he calls, come to me. Help us to hear him as he says, go and make disciples. And help us all together and with many more joining to know and express what our true purpose is in such a way that it gives glory to the great God you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.